This is Radio Superior 1943, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from 1943. This is a true story of our past, so step back with us to another time and hear this recreation of radio as it may have sounded in 1943. We bring you now to the KUWS radio studios at the Superior State Teachers College and the Martin and McKenna Show.
This is the voice from the head of the lakes, station KUWS in Superior, Wisconsin. It's 6 o'clock Central Wartime, Wednesday, November 17th, 1943. This is Jack McKenna advising you to salvage scrap to blast the Jap. Coming up, the war news with Lou Martin. The big story is Captain Richard Bong is home on furlough. We have several reports for you. The 6 o'clock news is brought to you by Popkins Furniture Company. Popkin Furniture has mahogany and walnut veneer desks for $29 and up. Good evening, Lou.
Good evening, Jack and listeners. Thanks, folks. Thanks. Those were the words of Captain Richard Bong to the throngs that greeted him at his parents' home in Poplar at 1 o'clock this morning. The Army's leading fighter ace is home for the first time since May of 1941, flying from combat action in New Guinea on an 8-day trip that ended on the back porch of the family farm. It was an emotional homecoming, but it was also an exhausting journey from the other side of the globe. Captain Bong flew from New Guinea to San Francisco, then to Chicago, where he caught a train to Milwaukee. From there, he hitched a car ride with Milwaukee Journal reporter Harvey Schwander and Robert Boyd, with Captain Bong driving the final 100 miles himself, narrowly missing deer while driving through Wascott and Spooner. It's clear that he's out of touch. He heard Paper Doll for the first time on the radio during the drive north. Superior Evening Telegram reporter Ralph Mason was one of the many reporters on hand to cover Captain Bong's arrival. Good evening, Ralph.
Good evening, Lou. People started gathering at the Bong farmhouse after the supper hour, including members from the American Legion and the Army Air Corps Superior State Teachers College Band of 29 pieces. Perhaps the most reserved was Dad, Carl Bong. He sat in his favorite chair, clad in a red plaid shirt, woolen breeches, and slippers, telling stories of putting up this year's hay crop and past hunting trips in Wisconsin's North Woods. Dick's mom, Dora, didn't try to hide her excitement. She spent the evening telling Sonny stories, how he fell off the swing at school when he was 12 and broke his arm, how he tipped over the tractor at 16, how he excelled at baseball and hockey. Captain Bong's 17-year-old brother, Bud, spent much of the night lining up things for the hunting trip later this week, including repairing snowshoes. Little Jimmy, just 4 years old, greatly added to his collection of photographer's flash bulbs. He caught occasional catnaps on his grandmother Bryce's lap, while the family dog Speaks sniffed all the strangers. 21-year-old sister Nelda played the piano and had a sing-along, including American Legion Post Commander Charles Cadigan and R.J. Ellenson brought hunting boots from the Boots for Bong's campaign. By 1:15, the farmhouse was bulging with well-wishers. Superior Evening Telegram reporter Bill Stewart picks it up from there.
Sisters Joyce and Geraldine and brother Bud are in the kitchen when they spot a single car turning off the main highway. Sounding almost like a prayer, Geraldine said, "It just has to be him." His five sisters and two brothers join in a chorus of, "It's him, it's him." Captain Bong spotted Joyce first and said, "Hello, Joyce, how are you?" In a moment, he was mugged by the hugs of his sisters. Then came Pop. Mr. Bong grabbed his son's hand and pulled him close for a big bear hug, thumping him on the back, and wiped a tear from his eye. Mrs. Bong screamed, "Sonny!" as she ran from the back porch. Her hug and kiss knocked the handsome flyer's hat off his head, but his dad caught it. 13-year-old sister Barbara immediately slapped it on her head. 11-year-old Sue tried it on next. Captain Bong had to look twice at Sue, who had grown quite a bit over his 2.5-year absence. Speaks gave a series of yips and barks once he recognized his long-lost pal. Without sleep for 2 days, Dick Bong thanked everyone, posed for pictures with his family for the newspapers, but clearly had thoughts of hitting the hay. Sisters Nelda and Geraldine showed no mercy, as they gave him a critical looking over, noting the lack of a shave and a haircut. Then Nelda proceeded to lean her back against the back of her famous brother, showing she was now as tall as he. She ribbed him by saying, "He's a little squirt." One of the first things he did was take a long, cool drink from what he called that swell well water from the family pump. New Guinea seemed a long way off from the cold winter night on the farmhouse back porch in far northern Wisconsin. Lou?
All right. Superior Evening Telegram reporter Bill Stewart and Ralph Mason. We have one more report, this from United Press News reporter Jane Miller, who filed this story from Chicago.
Army Air Ace Richard Bong says the quality of enemy fighters in the Pacific has fallen off sharply in recent months. In a stopover in Chicago on his way home to the family farm in Poplar, Wisconsin for a 60-day leave, the 23-year-old Captain Bong says they used to be continually on the defensive, fighting their way out of scraps against heavy odds. Now he says their chief problem is getting the Jap fighters to come out and fight. After 14 months in the South Pacific, Captain Bong says he can only remember two of his victories clearly. His first, shooting down a Japanese dive bomber over Salamaua last December 27th. He says that was the best shooting he'd ever done. Quoting him now, "I was just about to lose him when I lined up on his tail and he blew up in flames." The modest blonde youth also remembers his biggest day last August. That's when he shot down four Zeros, returning with more than 40 bullet holes in his P-38 Lightning. His medals include the Distinguished Flying Cross, the Distinguished Service Cross, the Silver Star, and a flying medal with 9 oak leaf clusters. His parents would like him to stay stateside after his furlough ends, but he's anxious to get back to the Pacific. Quoting him again, "As long as we're in this affair, I want to see as much action as possible," unquote. In Chicago, this is Jane Miller, United Press.
The Boots for Bong campaign was a success, so the Army's Air Ace will go hunting with full gear. KUWS radio newsman Mike Simonson has more.
Well, first things first, Lou, Captain Bong intends on getting sleep, and lots of it, before he hits the woods with other Nimrods in northern Wisconsin. But once he does take to the North Woods, he'll be wearing brand new hunting boots with rubber bottoms and leather tops. In fact, 9 pairs of new boots were located, so Bong's dad and brother Bud will also get new pairs. These boots are hard to find with the rationing of rubber, but even 10th District Congressman Alvin O.K. Okonski sent a wire promising to scour the East Coast if boots couldn't be found locally. And with a scarcity of ammunition, the Junior Chamber of Commerce's Andy Borg presented the Air Ace with a box of rifle shells for his 300 Savage rifle. Meanwhile, American Legion City and County Commanders Charles Cadigan and Richard Ellenson are making plans for a citywide Richard Bong Day before he leaves in January. Already, Captain Bong has been asked to speak to many groups, including the Superior State Teachers College Air Corps cadets, and crown the homecoming queen. That'll be this weekend, and tour the Butler and Globe shipyards. For now, his only plans are to don his new boots and try to bag a buck, Lou.
Well, thanks, Mike. Another invitation is on its way to the Bong Farm. Governor Walter Goodland would like to have lunch with him at the Executive Mansion at the Flyers' convenience. Governor Goodland also wished him good luck on the hunt. The hunting season begins tomorrow, the first part of what is being called herd reduction season. State Conservation Department Deputy Ernest Swift says a pair of snowshoes may come in handy after the heavy snow that fell earlier this month. Mr. Swift recalled similar conditions in 1930. A snowstorm struck, followed by 20 degree below zero temperatures. He said the woods were filled with stalled cars and shivering hunters. He advised hunters to use chains for their tires if they planned to go off the beaten path. 125,000 hunters are expected this year, an increase of 5,000. 100,000 white-tailed deer are expected to be shot. Last year, 12 hunters were shot to death. An unusual burst of shipping activity in cold weather is creating the largest traffic jam in port history here at the head of the lakes. 90 ships are waiting for iron ore and a grain cargo, including 29 vessels tied up at the Great Northern Docks in Superior. The problem is that iron ore freezes in 50 to 70-ton chunks as it's brought by rail from Minnesota's Iron Range. Ore punchers clamber aboard the train loads, shooting steam from the train to break up the frozen chunks. Popkin Furniture News time is 6:07. Jack McKenna has a few words from our sponsor.
Popkin Furniture Company, yes, indeed. They have quaint maple-style bedroom suites for young ladies for just $89.50. Now, that's a bargain, Lou. And they have desks if you don't need the whole room full of furniture. They do have desks for the young students at $29.50. And they are they're a perfect gift. Walnut or mahogany veneers, many different styles. You see, they're on top of things over there at that place, Fopkin Furniture.
Fopkin Furniture. Don't tell me that you're working without sleep. It was pretty ugly the last time that you did that.
Well, if Captain Bong... if Captain Bong can do it, so I can. I've got going a special project. Later about it, I'll tell you.
Well, there's always a price to pay when you don't get your shut-eye. You talk funny. Maybe I should say you talk funnier. The climax of the campaign for the Japanese stronghold over Bohol is near in the Southwest Pacific. The Yanks are forced to yield some Italian ground in the face of stiff Nazis' attack. And we begin our World Shortwave Radio Roundup with Daryl Berrigan reporting from the fighting along the Solomons and New Britain.
A climax for the campaign against the once powerful Japanese airstrip and port of Rabaul appears near today, dangerously near for the enemy. Allied bombers in search of Jap ships are sinking one cruiser or destroyer a day in this northern Solomons offensive. Beginning with the raid more than a month ago, 40 Nipponese ships have been sunk in the Rabaul area. In addition, 102 enemy aircraft have been destroyed. Secretary of the Navy Frank Knox says the now isolated base may become too hot for the Japanese, forcing an evacuation as they did in Guadalcanal last February. These bombing and naval operations bring speculation that Rabaul may be the next target of an Allied invasion before Christmas. To the north and east, another group of islands is the scene of an Allied buildup. Activity is increasing in the Marshall and Gilbert Islands area, specifically around Tarawa Island. Allied HQ will only say that Allied advances continue along a path to Tokyo. At Allied headquarters, somewhere in the Southwest Pacific, this is Daryl Berrigan reporting, calling Allied HQ in Algiers. Come in, Harrison Salisbury.
This is Algiers, North Africa, Harrison Salisbury speaking. A strong German counterattack is slowing the Allied drive along Italy's boot. American forces were forced to yield a small area of Mount Croce near Venafro. Fighting in fierce weather over rugged terrain, Lieutenant General Mark Clark's 5th Army lost one part of the hill but held the high ground overlooking Venafro. This wintry weather has slowed all fighting, including the British 8th Army, which controls the Apennine Heights to the Adriatic coast. The Allies are just 80 miles south of Rome, but are meeting stiff resistance around the ancient thick-walled monastery called Monte Cassino. With the Allied command in Algiers, this is Harrison Salisbury speaking.
Meanwhile, the staggering battle for Russia continues. A communique from Berlin admits a few dents in the Nazi front lines around the great Kiev Bulge. The Russians continue to apply great pressure in the area where vital supply trains link. They link Kiev, Warsaw, Odessa, and Leningrad. Meanwhile, Allied air attacks struck the south of France near Marseille and western Germany. Three Allied bombers were lost. From Mexico City, Mexican President Manuel Avila Casco says that his army will fight abroad against the Axis powers if it can keep its national identity. And finally, Jack and good listeners, Tom Turkey may be absent from many Thanksgiving tables later this month. The big bird crop is down slightly from 1942, and the war demands will be high. But housewives can take heart. The supply of chicken is plentiful this year.
Chicken and dressing just doesn't sound the same, Lou.
Servicemen should get first dibs on Tom Turkey.
Maybe they'll save me some dark meat. After all, I'm a thigh man. That's Mule Artin, the best newsman in the turkey pen.
And how long has it been since you had some sleep?
Oh, I'd say 2 or 1 days, maybe. Now, friends, the hunting forecast for this Thursday, November 17th, 1943. Things are warming up. Tonight's low will be zero with a high tomorrow at 28 degrees with sunny, partly skies tomorrow. Now let's play a few numbers for our very own war hero, Captain Richard Bong, who's probably getting a few winks even as we speak. His brothers Nelda, Jerry, Barbara, Sue, and Joyce requested this one. Glenn's tune by Elmer Miller and his orchestra on the Martin and McKenna Show.
Thinking of falling in love.
It's not the season, the reason is plain as a moon.
It's just Elmer's tune.
What makes a lady of 80 go out on the loose? Why does a gander meander in search of a goose?
What puts the kick in a chicken, the magic in June? It's just Elmer's tune.
Listen. There's a lot you're liable to be missing.
Sing it, swing it, any old way and any old time.
The hurdy-gurdies, the birdies, the cop on the beat, the candy maker, the baker, the man on the street.
The city charmer, the farmer, the man in the moon. I'll sing Elmer's tune.
Charmer, the farmer, the man in the moon.
All sing Elmer's tune. They all sing Elmer's tune. They all sing Elmer's tune. Sing Elmer's tune.
For the Bong Girls on the homecoming of their big brother, Pinky, that's Glenn Miller and his orchestra and Elmer's tune on station KUWS. You know, Pinky doesn't seem to quite fit a guy who's helping us win the war in the Pacific.
Well, then call him Captain.
Captain Pinky? Still doesn't seem right.
It's best that you don't talk too much, Jack. I have two announcements. First, Superior Postmaster Bethel Robinson is asking people to mail Christmas gifts to soldiers this month and not wait till December. Mr. Robinson expects this season to be busier than ever, with more men and women serving in far-off locations. A wartime service will be held this Sunday at the First Presbyterian and the Hammond Avenue Presbyterian Churches. Presbyterian churches nationwide have been given a goal of more than $1 million to help servicemen and war victims. First Presbyterian Reverend Gideon Crean says this is an opportunity to invest in a Christian future while extending care to servicemen and people in war-torn lands.
So you can tell I'm a wee bit tuckered, Lou?
Every time you go without sleep, you mix your words and even your letters. Mew, Larton, for instance.
I didn't say that. You just heard wrong. The truth is I'm on the clothing drive committee, and my job is to clean and fold the clothes. I really hate folding socks. It's a lot of work.
That's because you have limited experience with washing and folding clothes.
It's not fun to have nice at my tired expense. Okay, I heard me say that. That is a little scary. On with the music now for our conquering hero, Captain Bong. Another nice number he mentioned. This is the Mills Brothers and Paper Doll. And station UKSW. Just kidding, folks. On purpose, that I did.
I'm gonna buy a paper doll that I can call my own. A doll that other fellows cannot steal. And then the flirty, flirty guys with their flirty, flirty eyes will have to flirt with dollies that are real. When I come home at night, she will be waiting. She'll be the truest doll in all this world. I'd rather have a paper doll to call my own than have a fickle-minded real-life girl. I guess I had a million dolls or more. I guess I've played the dog game for and all. I just quarreled with Sue. That's why I'm blue. She's gone away and left me just like all dolls do. I'll tell you boys, it's tough to be alone. And it's tough to love a doll that's not your own. I'm through with all of them. I'll never fall again. Say, boy, what you gonna do? I'm gonna buy a paper doll that I can call my own. A doll that other fellows cannot steal. And then the flirty, flirty guys with their flirty, flirty eyes will have to flirt with dollies that are real. When I come home at night, she will be waiting. She'll be the truest doll in all this world. I'd rather have a paper doll to call my own than have a fickle-minded real-life girl.
That's not new for us, but it's new if you've spent the last year plus in New Guinea. The Mills Brothers and Paper Doll on the Martin and McKenna Show. That was said easily. Easily said. I do need some shut-eye, you know.
Community editor Harriet Feurig is here. We have more news of interest from the Bong family farm. Hello, Harriet.
Thank you, Lewis. So much attention is focused on Captain Richard Bong's homecoming, and rightfully so. But people need to know there's more than one hero in the Bong clan. His father, Carl, is fighting his battle on the home front. Why, Lewis and everyone, I've discovered he's running 5 farms at once, producing much-needed hay and grain crops. With so many farm workers now in the military, this is truly a great effort. In fact, this summer was a bumper crop for Papa Bong. 18-year-old Jerry, 17-year-old Bud, and Mother Dora all helped out driving the tractor. He grows 18 acres of peas for the Poplar Creamery and 200 acres of grain. You know, Lewis, I just want to say what Jack is doing is so important. These clothing items will go to children and war refugees overseas who have lost everything.
Yeah, that's right. We're not sending them rags either. My job on the committee is to keep things tight and needy.
That would be night and teedy.
Night and teedy?
The nightmare's coming true. I'm becoming Jack.
I don't even know what night and teedy is. On with the music now, good listeners. Here's another one that's probably new for Captain Bong, but it's a biggie. From Glenn Miller, this is Jukebox Saturday Night for anyone who wants to get tight and teedy on the Martin and McKenna Show.
Mopping up soda pop rickies to our heart's delight.
Dancing to the swingaroo quickies, Jukebox Saturday Night.
Goodman and Kaiser and Miller help to make things bright.
Mixing hot licks with vanilla, Jukebox Saturday Night.
Making one Coke last us
till it's time to scram.
Money we really don't need that.
We make out all right.
Let the other guy feed that Jukebox Saturday Night.
After sipping a soda, we got a scheme. Somebody else plays the record machine. It's so easy to say pet names when you listen to the trumpet of Harry James.
Tidy number to swing a ling to. That's Glenn Miller and his orchestra with Jukebox Saturday Night on station KUWS. We hope Captain Bong will have plenty of big Saturday nights during his leave. You know, Lou, we may be starting our own kind of hep talk. This may be catchy.
The flu is catchy, and I don't want that. Tight and needy.
Louis, it's all in fun. I have some more tidbits from this wonderful Bong family. Mother Dora Bong plans to make sure her son gains a few pounds while he's home. On the dinner menu tonight is his favorite, fricasseed chicken, as only she could make it. For Thanksgiving, there'll be roast chicken and venison, but no pumpkin pie.
Don't tell me we're going to have a Pumpkins for Bong's drive next.
No, I have it on good authority that Captain Bong prefers good old American apple pie instead of pumpkin.
No, this guy's really all American.
To the point of annoying. The Bong kids got to play hooky from school legally.
I thought playing hockey was always legal around here.
Now that's really annoying. Superior State Teachers College President R.C. Williams excused Geraldine from her classes. The other children were also given the day off by Poplar School Principal Mrs. Geraldine Bong. They both say it's not every day that a war hero comes home.
Isn't that sweet? I have an even cuter story than that, Lewis.
News stories are not cute.
This one is. It's about 4-year-old Jimmy Bong trying his hardest to stay awake for the arrival of Big Brother Dick. But his grandmother Bryce's lap is just too cozy. Even during the loudest moments when the Air Corps band was blasting its way through Stars and Stripes Forever, the little man was off for a visit to the land of Winkin', Blinkin', and Nod. Jimmy, who is nicknamed Boomtown by his brothers and sisters, did manage to be awake for his brother's arrival at 1:15 this morning.
That is cute.
Oh, Lincoln, Tinkin', and Blod. On with the music, folks, for Boomtown and his big brother. Here's Gus Arnheim and his orchestra, and Nobody's Sweetheart, on the Martin and McKenna Show, I got it, on station KUWS.
She's nobody's sweetheart.
Don't baby you somehow.
Oh, don't baby me.
Fancy
holes.
Silk gown. She'd be out of place
in her own hometown.
Walk down the avenue.
When you walk down the deep levity,
I just can't believe it.
I like that out of the way that I don't.
Painted lips, painted eyes.
What you doing?
We're a bird of paradise.
Hit it, boys.
Music sure to wake up even little Jimmy. That's the groove tunes of Gus Arnheim and his orchestra, live from the Coconut Grove and Nobody's Sweetheart. Boy, Jimmy's got the right idea, though.
I have a couple of news bulletins from our wires. From Chongqing, the Chinese High Command announced that the Japanese have captured the hotly contested town of Lishan, about 60 miles north of the Yangtze River port town of Shaanxi. Both sides suffered heavy losses. And President Roosevelt will address the nation tonight at 9:55 Central Wartime. We will carry that address over the Mutual News Network. Jack.
I think he's sleeping, Louis. Doesn't he look peaceful?
No more socks. No more, please. No more socks.
Well, this is a first.
Somebody's got to finish the show. Let's do it together.
Okay. This shouldn't be hard. Up next is Fitker's Treats the Crowd. Then at 7 o'clock, it's the mystery drama, Mr. and Mrs. North.
Oh, I love a mystery.
At 7:30, it's Beat the Band, followed by Mr. District Attorney. Then Kay Kaiser's College of Musical Knowledge.
We'll be back, same time, same place, on your radio dial, the good Lord willing.
Socks. So many socks.
And Jack doesn't have too many socks to fold. For Jack and Harriet, this is Lou Martin speaking.
Oh, thank you, Lolita.
Who's Lolita?
You have been listening to Radio Superior 1943, a weekly production presented by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson. Harriet Farrig is played by Jennifer Simonson. Foreign correspondent Daryl Berrigan is played by Paul Guggenheimer. Other performances by John Munsell. Joel Anderson. All events reported on Radio Superior 1943 are actual accounts from the editions of the Superior Evening Telegram. Join us next week at this time for more Radio Superior 1943. This is your announcer, Tony Jasmine, speaking. Good night.